Inside the Boss Podcast.
Everybody, this is Jeff Shannon and Ty Zanders, back with the Inside Lacrosse High School Prep Podcast. This is number two for the 2013 high school season, the podcast that we're doing. If you remember last time you heard us, we were getting ready for the upcoming high school season, breaking down our preseason top 25. We're about halfway through the... at least I would say the northeast part of the season, and some of the other regions are sort of getting ready for their playoffs, so we thought this was a good time to get together and do another podcast for our listeners. But first things first, we're going to break down our top 25 for this past week. This is, I believe, if I would go back and look, week 7 for the official podcast, I mean for the official rankings. And it kind of gives us a picture of where we are right now. So, with my man Ty here, let's take a look at our top five. Number one, Boys Latin, currently with a 12-0 record, going into this weekend with the game against Gilman. But they rank as our number one team. Number two, Chaminade, 7-0 off of Long Island. Been just tearing it up there. And they're getting ready for league play at this point, balancing a couple other games with some national contenders. Number three, Ward Melville, 7-0, up to number three with a bullet. They had a huge victory against Smithtown West, another top team in the Suffolk A League up on Long Island. And then at number four, we have Gilman at 8-1. Interesting, MIA is kind of a bunch of different teams, but Gilman seems to be ahead above everybody right now, but we'll figure that one out soon enough. And then number five, Gonzaga out of D.C., once again dominating the region this year with recent victories over longtime Powers Landing and Georgetown Prep before they hit in their WCA season. They had a nice win over PVI, Paul 6, what everyone likes to call it, PVI. So I'm going with PVI this past Tuesday, and they seem sort of zoned in for their run to the WCAC championship. Ty, your thoughts on our top five, and maybe give a thought about the rest of the top 25 so far.
Well, first off, you know, I always feel good when we have our preseason top two still intact at this point in the season, because I know high school lacrosse is you know, very familiar with parity and usually a good amount, but Boys Latin, I've seen them a few times, and they have been outstanding. The attack has been really fun to watch with Shaq Stanwyck and Colin Heacock having big years, especially Heacock as a senior. Depth in midfield, Mac Pons leading the show on defense, and Christian Knight having good running goal, as well as Hunter Moreland and Brian Lichtenauer at the faceoff X. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, half their team, that's probably only a third of their Division I bound players. So they have plenty of depth, which leads me to Chaminade, you know, not too different in that. Very senior laden. Ryan Lukovic, Tommy Zenker, Danny Fowler, and Brian Dunn, Timmy Muller are all, you know, they're probably their five keynote seniors we're pretty fond of. And they knocked off St. Anthony's, their arch rival, a week or so ago. I'll get into that game a little bit later. And then Ward Melville, watched them once, maybe another half of, you know, before that, you know, on MSG varsity. But they were out of this world on Tuesday afternoon, I believe, against Smithtown West, beating them 13-4, I want to say, and, you know, showing a lot of gusto in that game. Like that squad a whole lot. And then moving on to Gilman. Gilman's been great. You know, they did have that loss against Hereford, but I've, you know, I know people have sort of been giving us a hard time in the rankings about, you know, why you're going to have Gilman up there despite their loss to, you know, unranked Hereford, you know, who was ranked for, I believe, a week or so. You know, we've watched them on tape and watched them in live, and they are as impressive as a Baltimore team as you'll find. With that said, they'll play Boys Latin today, I suppose, for you listeners out there, and then also moving on down the list to D.C. at Gonzaga. right in the shadow of the Capitol building in D.C. They are also pretty impressive after early losses to Hill Academy and top-ranked Boys Latin. So I like that group a whole lot, and looking forward to the next few weeks and see if that top five is probably intact, and I'm sure it won't be because you know, always seem to be a few upsets out there, but looking forward to it regardless.
Yeah, those teams kind of have set themselves up for being the core of the top, but again, as Ty said, there's a lot of games to be played left. Just a quick look at 6-2. We'll go to 6-15. Number 6, Avon Old Farms out of Connecticut. As currently, they're undefeated, but they're just getting started playing up there. So they got some time. Number 7, St. Paul's, probably one of the stories we'll be talking about, but they're 12-1. Culver, Indiana, and Hill Academy are out of Ontario, are 8-9 respectively. They have a big game coming up this weekend, which I believe they're playing at Brother Rice on a neutral field
so
out
too.
There. And then number 10, Janesfield DeWitt, just keeps killing it. Again, a team we may be talking about in a couple minutes here. 11, Calvert Hall, Maryland, back in the top 25 after a little bit of a rough start, followed by Haverford School out of Pennsylvania. Again, another team that had a little bit of a rough start, but they've worked their way back into the rankings at the number 12 position. Salisbury School of Connecticut, currently 13 in our rankings. They were high as number 3 at one point. Number 14, Episcopal Academy, finds their way back in the top 25 again after starting the season there. At the number 14 spot, and number 15, LaSalle out of Pennsylvania. And I'll just mention number 16, Malvern Prep out of Pennsylvania as well. That seems to be a region that, again, looking at the schedule, a lot of teams in contention that will start ironing itself out in a little bit. Ty, any thoughts about this grouping here, just casually?
Yeah, I'm glad you sort of grouped that, you know, 6-16 or maybe even 12-16 group, because that sounds about right. I know, I guess 11 or 12-16, those teams are all pretty even, and we have Episcopal Academy and LaSalle and Haverford and Malvern, and, you know, for the most part, they all play each other in the next week or so. So that'll all get ironed out in the next few weeks, and Philly will actually start to make sense for once this year. And in addition, you know, Jeff mentioned Salisbury School. They lost on Wednesday night to Westminster. I guess you'd consider that an upset from a ranking standpoint. So the Crimson Knights are still figuring out their identity. I know they have a nice midfield, but the issue seems to be in the defensive end, some new starters. But I do expect them to be playing for a league title, you know, at the end of the year, you know, whether it's with Brunswick or Deerfield or whoever. So we have to keep our eye out on them as well. And you mentioned Culver and Hill. Watch them this year. And, man, Saturday's going to be a dogfight. A lot of Canadian blood out there. And
I think that game's actually, from what I gathered, is Sunday. I had to take a look. I emailed John Posner this week, and
okay,
he mentioned that game Sunday. Yeah, I was a little confused by that schedule as well. But anyways, let's take a look at just the wrap of the top 25, 17-25. We mentioned Malvern Prep, 16. Garden City, New York, is number 17 right now. Number 18, Smithtown West, 7-1. They fall a ways after they lost to Ward Melville this past week. Number 19 is Brunswick School, Connecticut. Still undefeated, I'm going to say, at this point. Deerfield Academy, number 20, 4-1. They had that tough loss at the beginning of the season. Number 21, Delbarton, 6-0. They had a couple close games this past week, but they've been rolling. Number 22, St. Ignatius Prep, California. They are undefeated, 13-0. They'll be playing number 2, Chaminade, in a couple weeks at the Conoco Minolta Big City Classic. Looking forward to that contest. Ty will be up there providing his commentary. Number 23, Niskayuna out of the Adirondacks area in New York, 5-0. Number 24, St. Anthony's, 5-2. And then number 25, Smithtown East. Interesting team in our top 25. I couldn't remember the last time they've ever been
there. I don't know
there.
If they've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a nice victory over Power West Islip recently that pushed them up into the top 25. We'll see, again, once Suffolk A really gets going, where they land. But that was a good win for them, and it's kind of nice to give them some recognition. Any final thoughts about the top 25, specifically with these teams, Ty?
Well, I think at first glance, you know, whether it's on paper or on film or from hearsay, from my different sources, I think a lot of these teams almost appear better than their ranking may indicate. You know, I enjoy watching Garden City, and you know, I know Del Barton's been impressive, and I heard good things about Brunswick and Smithtown West. I mean, other than, you know, dropping the ball against Ward Melville, excuse me, you know, they've been pretty impressive themselves. So I think going forward, you know, like that last grouping, that'll all play itself out as these teams have some big games coming up. I know Garden City, Ward Melville is something that, you know, on Saturday afternoon in Suffolk that will, you know, give us a better indication as who's the cream of the crop on Long Island. You know, Nassau-Suffolk battle, that's a game we'll talk about briefly. But I like this group a lot. I think, you know, St. Anthony's has the chance to knock off Chaminade in a few weeks. And, you know, I know Del Barton has Mount Lakes, their rival, coming up. So really just a pretty stellar group here. I like the overall depth, the top 25, and, you know, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, when I was looking at this list. Usually when I look at the high school rankings, it's sort of like looking at a stock chart. You got your blue chip stocks, and then you're looking for teams that are going to rise with the season. And I think it's a lot of depth this year. You noticed a lot of one loss or no loss teams. And even the teams that have more than one loss, those are just against quality opponents. So just a lot of good depth, specifically to this season, I want to say. So that's our top 25 for right now, sort of the midseason top 25. Again, we'll be breaking these down on a couple other podcasts in the future as we get ready for champion season. But I want to take this opportunity right now, we're sort of, again, in the middle of the season, to take a look at some questions, to ask some questions, five questions. From the first half of the high school season, get Ty's thoughts, all from my opinions as well, to kind of help us shape what we've seen, where we think some of these things are going. So let's play some five questions, Ty. I don't remember if you remember the original Daily Show with
yep.
Craig Kilborn.
Yep.
I used to have the exploding head.
I'm sure heads will explode while you listen to this podcast, but I remember, hope not.
I saw that movie one time. It's some horrible Asian action flick, but... Watch the whole thing. Was it Ricky O? I can't remember. Kids, look up Ricky O on YouTube and see what you get.
Like what?
There were people fighting, pulling guts out. It was crazy. So
anyway,
let's get to our five questions from the first half of the high school season. First question: biggest surprise, Ty, from the first half of the season, from your coverage, from your extensive following of the high school season, what was the biggest surprise so far from the first half of the season for you?
Well, definitely St. Paul's. You know, I'll start local and then move up. But St. Paul's, I mean, I can't say they weren't on my radar because I figured that, you know, there's only one way to go, and that's up for them. You know, they won 3-15 last year, didn't win an NCAA game, you know, won an NCAA championship back in 2010 and lost in the semis in 2011. So last year was a surprise. And an even bigger surprise is the record so far. They only dropped a game against Calvert Hall. But watching St. Paul's 3 or 4 times, you know, man, they're pretty impressive. I watched them on Tuesday afternoon against Loyola Blakefield. You know, one of the better, you know, one of the more well-coached teams around with Jack Crawford. And the Crusaders dismantled the Dons 19-9 after being up, I want to say, 7-4 at half. Just a really strong second half, offensive and defensive showing. So I like the Crusaders a lot, and you know, growing up in the area and going to NYAA school, a certain NYAA school, I'm looking forward to the boys Latin St. Paul's matchup again, although we'll get into that in early May. Those are two arch rivals, and I think that's a nice storyline. But moving on, another one would be the aforementioned Ward Melville. You know, we had them, I think, 21st to begin the season on the preseason rankings, and you know, we were sort of unsure of how Suffolk County would go. I know West Lansing graduated a lot, but you can't think too much about that because Scott Craig runs such a great program. But there was Ward Melville in the mix, Smithtown West, and then some emerging schools like Northport or Smithtown East, who's now, you know, number 25 after coming in last week. But Ward Melville, You know, I mentioned it in a tweet earlier this week. I have not seen a Ward Melville team this, you know, this strong, this deep, you know, since I've been following high school lacrosse, you know, in the mid-2000s. So I like that squad a lot to go deep. And, you know, right now I'll say I think they'll win the championship. And I know it doesn't sound too bold seeing that they're our number three team, but I really like that squad a whole lot.
Yeah, those are some really good early surprises. I would agree with Ty on St. Paul's and Ward Melville. I'd throw in what's been interesting for me is a big surprise is teams that have been able to bounce back after early season losses.
Yeah.
Calvert Hall,
Gonzaga,
Haverford. Different chemistries with those programs this year. Lost some seniors that were very important to their championship runs in the past few seasons. And it's good to see. It really gets into the depth of coaching with those programs. So that's been a nice surprise. And also within that crew, Episcopal Academy as well has been interesting. So
yeah, I think just to add, with the Philly schools, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but, you know, they graduated some key players, and I think with certain – you know, with a lot of programs, they're going to load their schedule no matter who they are. No matter who they graduate, they will do so. And I know Episcopal Academy did that. I know Haverford did that. They dropped the first three games to Baltimore schools. But I think, you know, it sort of shows resiliency in the coaching, you know, of those programs to bounce back and knock off a few teams. I know LaSalle beat Mount Vernon and OT the other day. And also beat LaSalle, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And Gonzaga, you know, losing the Hill, that's not a bad loss by any means. I know Brody Merrill went to a great program up in Canada. Really like watching both Calvert Hall and Gonzaga after dropping their first few.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, moving on to the next question. Most interesting league or region so far? We've gotten a little bit into league play. It's interesting. At this point, we're getting into league play a little bit, and we saw some of these interleague games to kind of go through April, and a lot of interesting stuff's coming out of it. But Ty, what is your most interesting league region right now?
Well, that's cheating a little bit because I said Interac, and I just talked about that. You know, with those teams all playing each other, but I know the Interac will be great. You know, as I was talking with Jeff earlier, you know, Interact does a little bit differently. You know, they name a regular season champion, as most leagues would unofficially, and then there's a postseason tournament at Cabrini College in suburban Philly that will crown a champion. I know last year, Episcopal Academy upset Haverford. I watched that game on TV, and it was outstanding. But Interact, really fun to follow. And then secondly, you know, the New England West 1 is – you know, a league that many people don't understand, and I think it took me a while to understand because there's also the Founders League, which Avon Old Farms won last year. You know, and the storyline there is that there's no postseason tournament. So Deerfield and Salisbury are usually the two main teams playing, you know, for that so-called title. You know, sometimes there's a co-champion, obviously, depending on the win-loss record and, you know, head-to-head and all that fun stuff. But Brunswick is also emerging as a team to watch out for. And, you know, I like a few other teams you haven't mentioned. You know, you got to give respect to Westminster for beating Salisbury. I don't know a whole lot about them. But I also really like Tierney Pauling, you know, going toe-to-toe with Deerfield really to the last few minutes before a game winner by Notre Dame-bound Liam Kennedy, a post-grad from Garden City, New York, you know, really sealed the deal for the Big Green. You know, I got to give some respect to Trinity Pauling as well as Taft. I mean, the depth this year in that league is pretty impressive. So, you know, I got to give them a shout out.
I would include, on my side, I would include the most interesting league or region so far is the Suffolk A area. With Westside slipped down this year, they've lost a couple games early here. That sort of opened up some opportunities. We talked about Ward Melville. Smithtown West had a bad loss this week, but thanks to – which Keenan is it, Kyle?
It's Ryan, yeah.
Ryan, the brother.
You know, Ryan Keenan has been a key cog for the Bulls, yeah. You know, as they graduated. You know, some guy named James Pinnell and Matt Schultz, who is now in Stony Brook. You know, Keenan's had to step up. Yeah. And that's just a very good team.
And then we mentioned Smithtown East, Sagem North, a bunch of other schools in that area. It's kind of made that very interestingly competitive. And then I would also throw in, but on a different level, I'll combine the two, but just the D.C. region in general this year. One for being down a little bit, but it's sort of made it interesting on another level. Gonzaga is sort of head and shoulders above everybody else. But then you had this kind of big crew underneath with Georgetown Prep and Landon. I mentioned PVI was very competitive this year with their senior class that's very talented. St. Stephen's St. Agnes is always a team to throw in there.
Bullis is always pretty solid, yeah. You know, they knocked off Hill Academy. But, you know, I guess adding on to, you know, Jeff's thoughts about the D.C. region, you know, you can also pick up the May issue. And Jeff talked about the D.C. area sort of being a little bit spicy this year. Very fun to watch. So be sure to pick that one up.
Yeah, I get into the nuances a little bit, what's going on down there.
But, yeah, but, you know, with Landon and Georgetown Prep, you know, we ranked those two teams pretty high. And, you know, I want to say I expected a little bit more about them, out of them, excuse me. But at the same time, I sort of took into account what sort of underclass, you know, what the roles were of underclassmen. You don't want to rely on them too heavily. You want a nice balance between, you know, the underclassmen studs and, you know, those senior leaders. And, you know, the coaching is also, you know, off the charts of those two programs. So I think, you know, I'm sure either one of them will play in the championship, IC championship in a few weeks, you know, in May. But right now, they're out of the top 25, as you can see, you know, just because, you know, their win-loss record isn't as impressive, you know, as one may have predicted.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
So.
Okay, next question. Ty, we've been to a lot of high school games so far. I was going to say games to be seen live, but that sort of limits it. So I was going to say games that you've watched online as well or been able to see otherwise. What is the best game, high school game, that you watched in the first half of this season?
You know, no-brainer, I think, is BL's 11-9 victory over Culver Military Academy from Indiana. You know, Culver came down there. You know, we've always followed this team, but they came down here after, I want to say, you know, three practices, which is, you know, it says a lot about the program that, you know, they can, you know, fight through the snow and, you know, hockey season and all that and come out there and you know, play that well against the nation's top team. I mean, they were very strong offensively and had a big performance in goal from Michael Calvello, a junior bound for Furman. And BL, you know, I was impressed with, and you know, ultimately the Lakers won 11-9 thanks to a pair of goals in the final 90 seconds by, I think it was Colin Heacock, and also maybe a tying goal from Ben Pridemore, I believe. But that game was excellent, sort of seeing some Canadian talent in Zach Currier and Joel Tinney, Riley Thompson and Dean Ferris, you know, it's Austin McKenzie. That's five Canadians right there that are some of the better players around. So I enjoyed watching them go against the boys' Latin defense. That was a really fun game. I know Jeff was there as well, but I liked that one a whole lot.
Yeah, that was the Culver game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because I was going to mention that was a crazy weekend for boys' Latin, and the one I actually enjoyed, the Hill Academy game, a little bit more, which I believe was a one-goal game, 11-10. Mm-hmm. Which was very and what was fun about that game is that there was just obvious talent everywhere on the field, and it really came down to the talent was what won the game in the end, but the coaching was spectacular across the board. Hill Academy, because they knew they didn't want to play an open game with boys Ladin, they ran a fantastic fantastic zone defense. Really limited boys Ladin shooters, kept it close for most games, and then I was really able to see a player like Zach Miller and some other and Dallas Bridle, two Denver yep. recruits, step up. I believe Dallas was in that game. If not, then he was at the Calvert Hall game. But
yeah, I mean, with Hill, you know, they're we're unsure of how things go. I know I tweeted about Hill Academy, and they had one of the guys tweet back at me and said, oh, "Okay, we have three or four teams, and we mixed you know the personnel up a little bit, and you know that's."
I think they got it right at this point. Like, the main guys that I saw play that week were the same guys that played that week.
And I think we have a decent idea at this point. Our heads were spinning a few weeks ago, you know, trying to figure out, you know, not where to rank them, but...
Rules here? There's no rules here.
You know, where to, you know, how to
figure them out into the in the process. Yeah, and I think we got it right. And but Miller was a gem. I think he's someone we've had ranked in our top 50 recruits, and he just continues.
He's a stock rising type of player.
Exactly, stock rising type of player that Dever is going to just utilize really well.
Yeah, I really
like. Well, that's another podcast for another day, but I really like what Denver has coming in.
Yeah, and then also, you know, I like San Anthony Chaminade, not because it was a thriller. You know, it was a 10-6 game, and quite frankly, I almost expected a little bit more out of it. You know, more run and gun and a closer game, perhaps. But, I mean, I'm throwing in there, one, maybe to say it was fun to watch, but two, more so because I'm writing a magazine piece on these two teams, and they're just enjoyable. I mean, the rivalry is really special up on Long Island. I know, I think Chaminade's won their opener against St. Anthony's for the last five seasons, and the storyline there has been that, you know, Chaminade, the last two seasons, they've swept St. Anthony's, and then the Friars of them have then knocked them off in the Catholic League final. You know, it's almost de facto championship with the top two seeds going to the championship at Hofstra the Thursday before Memorial Day. But I always enjoy watching that matchup, and there will be two more, as I mentioned. So
yeah.
Throw that in there.
Ton of good games. I mean, we're just mentioning a couple of the ones that we saw live, but if you follow our coverage at Isle of Preps or some of our freelancers, fantastic action all through the board. There's a ton of games. Make sure you go out and watch them when you get a chance. Last question, looking backward, wanted to throw this one out as well because it's been interesting following some of the individual performances so far this year. But Ty, who are your early player, high school player of the year candidates so far this year?
Oh, well, the first four I'm going to mention, you know, that's mostly based off of either what I've watched in person or what I've watched, you know, on live streams. You know, I have the great fortune of, you know, having, I wouldn't say a hookup, but the privilege with from MSG Varsity to watch some live streams and game tapes that are put up there. So I've watched some Long Island and Hudson Valley, Westchester, New Jersey games, and highlights are all up there. But first off, you know, a player that is, you know, it's scary to say he's taken the extra step because he scored, you know, 50-plus goals last year. But Justin Gutterding from Garden City has been in a tear. He's a lefty sniper. You know, I think I was sort of curious to see how his role would maybe morph, knowing that Devin Dwyer, you know, probably one of the best feeders I've ever seen at the high school level, graduated, as did finisher Liam Kennedy, who I mentioned, now at Deerfield. But Gutterding has been, you know, outstanding for the Trojans, leading the way, you know, after some graduation losses for the defending national champions. But I like Gutterding a whole lot. He's headed off to Duke, I believe. And then also, you know, Max Green from down here, he's off to Harvard. He was sort of a late commit, although, you know, late is now rising senior summer. So, you know, we weren't sure what his decision's going to be, but he has also been a guy who seems to be good for at least a hat trick every game. Nifty shooter, pretty heady player. I don't think he's, you know, maybe a top five carrier in the class, but a top five shooter for sure, sniper, finisher. Really enjoy watching him when the ball is slung out of the stick. And then moving on to another guy from Long Island, and if it seems like I'm you know, talking a lot about Long Island and Baltimore, I am, because that's the most I've watched, but also getting some other guys. Ryan Lukovic at Chaminade has been, you know, I remember watching, you know, a quick feature with, you know, ESPN and MSG Varsity's Paul Carcaterra, and he was talking that about Ryan Lukovic really taking that extra step this year. He was good last year, you know, I'd say very good last year, and he's been great this year. He has been off his charts for the number two Flyers. He's a quick dodger, so good coming around from X, you know, rides like a demon, and is a great leader. He's rocking that number 19 jersey for Jimmy Regan, who is a Chaminade alum, went on to play at Duke. That number 19 is a huge honor, and Lukovic has that bestowed upon him this year. Lukovic signed with University of Virginia. And then another MNAA attackman. These are all attackmen. Colin Heacock, another guy who's taken that so-called extra step, carrying the momentum over from the winter season on the basketball court where, you know, he was, you know, dunking like crazy, you know, throughout the winter. But Heacock has been pretty special, great athlete. Switched his commitment from Penn State to Maryland in November right before signing day, and, you know, I think he'll see some early minutes knowing that the Terps, you know, sorely need a Dodger. Heacock will can provide that along with, you know, the other recruits, and that's something I'll get into deep in a few months. And then I also have to mention two top five players, Matt Rambo and Jordan Evans. Rambo has been great, as always. You know, I think he'll – his stats will, I want to say – you know, improve. Not they've been bad by any means, but once Sean Coleman is back from a football injury sustained back in November, December, I think Rambo could go off. I mean, he has the ability to take over a game more so than any number one player I've seen since probably Nicky Galasso, with respects going to, you know, Case Mathias as well. But Rambo is so special, and Jordan Evans, I know our man Casey Bach down here is keeping one eye up on upstate New York and saying that Evans has been out of this world, putting up, you know, 10, 11 points like it's nothing. So that speaks volumes about the player he is. May wear number 22 at Syracuse. That's merely a rumor, but rocks it right now, and certainly capable of, you know, wearing it in the future, knowing his talent. So those are six guys I'm watching, and, you know, we'll sort of update this, you know, unofficial player of the year, you know, race or what have you later in the season as we have a few more podcasts. But those are six guys I have my eye on.
Yeah, one of the best things about high school lacrosse is that there really is a fun way to break these guys down as the season goes on. It's like who leads their teams to championships, local championships.
I mean, these are all guys that are, you know, in the top 15, you know, top 20. So I think that's your spot on there, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. Those are, it's always fun to watch that. I mentioned Miller with Hill Academy.
I don't know how I can forget that one. But,
and then the other guy I wanted to mention, too, is what Culver is doing, Zach Currier.
Yes.
For those guys. Two-way mid, headed to Princeton. One of the 48 minutes in high school? I'm sorry. 48-minute kids. One of the best 48-minute kids I've ever seen in my life.
One of the only, really.
Yeah, really.
I mean, you know, you don't see that a whole lot, and, you know, I'm sort of kicking myself for getting those two players because, I mean, those are two of the better players I've seen out of Canada in a while. And there have been some special players. But Miller and Currier, I mean, you will see them probably in the top 10 of Terry Foy's freshman rankings a year from now.
Yeah.
They are such great recruits. And like I said, we'll go into that in a few months. But two guys also to keep an eye on.
Yeah, just for what they're doing with our high school teams right now, watching those guys again, especially when Culver's taking on Hill Academy this weekend. I gotta imagine they'll be facing off against
each other. I will pay somebody to send me the film of that one because watching those two square off will, you know, will be worth the price of admission.
Definitely.
So if you're in the Midwest, head up there to Brother Rice this weekend and watch those two square off.
That's gonna be a fantastic game. Okay, well, last question, quick one, because looking a little bit to the past here a little bit, let's look a little bit to the future. And again, that's something we'll do more in depth once we get to the real championship period of time. But Ty, in the next few weeks, what is the game that you want to watch and see what happens?
There are a few. I think the first one would be St. Ignatius Prep from the San Francisco Bay Area. They're coming east. They'll play in our event, the Big City Classic. Seton Hall Prep, I think, from New Jersey.
Yes.
They'll play them on you know, the 27th at MetLife Stadium. If you don't have tickets, go grab those. But Chaminade, you know, those seniors, they take a trip to Disney World. Those lucky seniors take that trip, and I think they left yesterday, and they will come back on Monday. And I know there's usually a lot of hoopla about, you know, whether these seniors, you know, can jump right back into it despite no practices and, you know, take on a top team. And I think they can, but they better watch out because they've got their hands full with some top talent from California and Matt Emery and Spencer Evans and guys like that. Really nice program there. So that's on Thursday. You know, be sure to follow that. We'll have some updates on Twitter at Isle Preps and my personal account. And then another game, Fairport Ithaca. You know, those two teams are undefeated up in New York in Section 5 and Section 4, respectively. you know, quite frankly, I'm not crazy about any team schedules top to bottom when it comes to upstate New York. But this is always a big game that gives us a better idea out of who will contend for a New York state championship. So that's a game to watch as well. Maybe Jeff had this one as a list, but Haverford at Malvern today. Haverford hosting Episcopal Academy. Haverford, you know, against LaSalle on the 27th, the Katie Sampson Lacks Fest at Radnor High School. Those are three games that, as I mentioned, will give us a better idea out of who's the cream of the crop, who's the top team in Philadelphia. So keep an eye out for those scores as well. Those are what I have on my list.
Definitely. And let's not forget today's Boys Latin Gilman game, which is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and also, you know, the McDonough Calvert Hall game.
McDonough Calvert Hall is going to be a huge one,
too. I'll be doing color commentary with the Booker Corrigan on Friday afternoon, Friday night on Cooter.com. Check those full game tapes out. But two top games from the MIAA as well as St. Paul, St. Mary's, which will put, you know, two top Fogos against each other. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, top players, quickly mention Alex Woodall, a sophomore, uncommitted sophomore from St. Mary's under the tutelage of new head coach Ben Rubiora, former attackman at UVA. Woodall has been ridiculous this year, winning the balls to himself, winning the face-offs to himself, and you know, popping it forward and creating transition. He's been fantastic. So watch out for him on tape or in Annapolis or whatever. He's a stud. So another guy to watch. And St. Mary's playing hosting St. Paul's today as well. So
two games that I'm going to mention now. It's a little bit of cheating, but I don't care. and it's just we probably won't get to them before we do our next podcast. The Texas State Championship is going to be a nice one, and the Florida State Championship will both.
You said those both those championships are almost a southern twang. I like it.
That's where, you know, spend time down there. Texas State Championship. Dallas Jesuit was a team that had spent time in their top 25 rankings for a good portion of this year. They had a nice almost win against Gilman early in the season and lost to the number 4 team, currently ranked by just 2 goals. Has a lot of Division I talent, including Dan Morris, their goalie, who is going to Maryland. But they were just upset by Highland Park recently. And then there's another team out of the Houston area called the Woodlands, who beat Highland Park earlier this year, and they're currently undefeated at this point. There's a lot of contenders for that title, and I'm looking forward to see how that plays out. There's always the top teams in that area always send players to Division I, and it's be fun to follow that championship. And then when we look at Florida, St. Andrews currently is undefeated in the state, and they have a couple losses, though, and they had a couple close ones this year. I remember specifically a game where they had to beat Jupiter, Florida, in overtime this year. You have a lot of contenders, a lot of people investing in programs in there who are nipping at St. Andrew's toes. Lake Highland Prep is back. Lake Brantley is back, is contending. Teams like Vero Beach and Jupiter.
There's more depth right this year.
More depth, yeah. That's the key.
You know, more teams emerging.
I don't know if talent-wise it's deeper there, but people know what they're doing. They know how to coach programs. They know how to build programs down there. They know how to defeat. They're building programs to defeat these top teams, which is usually what you see in growing the areas. You'll have a couple top programs.
You know, I know at Jupiter, you know, Dan Loftus, if you remember the 2007, you know, championship game, you know, with Duke, he was that goalie. He's out of Syosset, you know, 07 grad, and he's heading that program right now with Nick O'Hara. I hope I got the right name for the Duke alum, but I believe it was you know, old number 77 Nick O'Hara running that program. They have a poll named Connor Alexander, 2015, going to Duke. I remember watching in the summer and fall, but you know, not that I, you know, have my eyes closed when it comes to these you know, non-hotbed teams, because I don't. I let Jeff handle it for the most part. I've enjoyed following Texas and Florida in particular more so than I ever have, just because of the depth of talent and you know, the talent on paper at the top. I know Highland Park is great. I think they lost maybe 3-2 to the Woodlands, so I want to say.
Yeah, it was a close game.
Right,
it was
in the beginning of the season, so yeah. It'll be different. You know, we'll see. You know, yeah. I think Dallas Jesuit's great. Mentioned Morris as you know, one of the better keepers around, and Highland Park. And, I mean, you know, these Texas players, they don't mess around. Great football athletes, put a lacrosse stick in their hands, and, you know, it's
yeah, and then, I mean, and like every place else now, you're seeing lacrosse players exactly. come out there. Like, you're picking up goalies from Texas. That's crazy.
Yeah, and, you're having these players, you know, these, you know, former established players like Loftus and guys like Casey Powell out in Oregon. And I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. They'll move to the non-hotbeds and develop that area, and that's what we're seeing. So I think we'll see more teams in non-hotbeds. Rise into the top 25 just like Dallas Jesuit did. So yeah. That's something to watch as well.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to watch. But those two games are things that I'll be looking forward to, and you can find some reports, I'm sure, out of that on InsideLacrosse.com. Okay, everybody, get out to some high school games. Ty and I will be covering the scene as usual for InsideLacrosse.com, for at IL Preps, and all our other entities. Again, Ty, thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the season.